morning. I'm opening this meeting of the House Committee on Revenue Monday, March 25th. We will be following the agenda in the order in which it's published unless something comes up in the meantime that causes us to change. We're starting with a public hearing. I'm opening the public hearing on House Bill 3197. Would you please introduce it for us?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3197 extends the time for filing of estate tax returns for estates that require no federal estate tax return. And this would take effect after January 1st, 2020. And then Murph Noble is here to talk about this bill, but I'd just like to mention that in just talking right before this meeting, there was conversation about making the filing deadline the same for all estate filers, regardless of whether they had a federal tax return or not. And so there might be an amendment crafted after this.
All right. Thank you. Representative Noble.
Thank you, Chair Nathanson, members of the committee. For the record, my name's Ron Noble. I'm the state representative from District 24. In case you need a reminding, that would be where all the best Oregon wines are from.
Don't get started.
Monday morning. This is a constituent bill. Linda O'Herrick approached our office regarding a specific situation she faced with estate taxes. And I'll just go through this. This bill in its current format is to address a sometimes frequent situation regarding the timeline for filing of an estate tax return when no federal estate tax return is required. And currently, a return must be filed with the Department of Revenue within 9 months following the death of a decedent. Often the estate of the decedent takes longer than 9 months to be settled, creating a situation where the estate taxes cannot be paid within the specified time. The intent of the bill is to, under those circumstances, extend the timeline to 12 months, which would then take care of this particular situation. As legislative staff mentioned, we're working with the Department of Revenue and just creating one deadline, so it's not just to solve maybe this particular issue in my district, but it would be consistent and provide better relief for actually all the public, which I think is why we're here. So we're working on an amendment to actually be more consistent across the board, provide a benefit under any of these circumstances for everyone. And with that, I will turn it over to my constituent, Linda.
Great.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Linda O'Hara, and I'm from McMinnville, Oregon. Representative Noble is my representative from the district. So as he said, the situation that my family faced 4 years ago when one of my sisters died was perhaps moderately unique, but I don't know that what we faced would, can't be the only ones, let's put it that way. So there were some challenges that we faced that were unique, and I know that most people, you, me, nobody can really take care of those. So this is one thing that you do have control over. So my sister died 4 years ago, and some of the challenges that we faced, unfortunately, were she had assets and no will. And it took the courts a while to appoint a representative for her estate, which ended up being our father. And the clock started ticking when she died, and we were given the impression that the clock would start ticking when we finally were able to actually do something, which was 3 months later. And so we were already 3 months into the deadline, but we didn't know that. You know, so all of those things are not under anyone's control. It's just the way things happen. We faced challenges getting necessary documents and information with regards to her estate. And again, that's nobody's fault. It just is the way it is. And again, advice from professionals was sometimes not always accurate. Like, when does the clock actually start ticking? So after it was all said and done, and it actually took close to 3 years for my sister's estate to finally close. But the point of this is that when do we have to be compliant with federal and state taxes and all those things. And that's something that we do have control over, you all have control over. And so in our case, having an extra 3 months would have made all the difference in the world. So the clock starts ticking when the person dies, and instead of 9 months, make it 12, and it will make a huge, huge difference. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And thank you for coming to be here to testify. Are there questions? Thank you.
Straightforward. Thanks.
Thank you.
Does Department of Revenue have any additional comments? I do have a question on the way up. In addition to statutory language, is there anything in administrative rule that would help relieve the situation? For example, if there was a 12-month deadline and it wasn't until 12 months and 3 days before something became clear.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, for the record, Deanna Mack with Department of Revenue. I'd have to double check if there's anything that would allow an automatic extension of time to file for that program. Or a request for extension. I don't know that off the top of my head. I do know there's a 14-year payment plan offered for folks after the deadline if they can't pay in full. A lot of issues with the states are liquidity issues in having to sell assets. And there's no penalty imposed if they're in that 14-year payment plan. But I don't know. I'll find out for you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Yes, Representative.
Excuse me, Deanna.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Sorry. I have one quick question. What is the time frame for the federal government?
Wait.
As stated. Do you happen to know? I mean, that's not a fair question for you, and I apologize for that.
Madam Chair and Representative Fidley, I'm sorry. I don't know the federal due date. I don't know if LRO maybe does. I know ours is 9 months from the date of the death, so presumably it's the same. For federal purposes.
Okay, thank you.
Just to go on with the amendment, though, we would prefer that all taxpayers had the same deadline, whether if you choose to extend it, because it's just confusing for folks to have to figure out one or the other, depending on what they're
filing. It would be much easier if they were in unison with them. So,
yeah,
thank you.
We like that amendment. Thanks.
Thank you. So LRO will be working with stakeholders and this bill sponsor on an amendment. Thank you. Anything else? Yes, Representative Marsh.
Thank you. So just to build on Rep. Finley's question, the bill is for returns when there is no federal estate tax. So do we assume by that that when there's a federal estate tax that timeline is the one that we accede to?
I think in understanding your question, Representative Marsh, mm-hmm. Yes. So the way that the bill is written is, as you mentioned, if there's no federal mm-hmm. Return required, and we were checking on that in terms of what the intent was for if it was complexity or if it was a particular case like this.
Okay.
So I think in crafting the amendment, we'll make sure that that's more clear.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's it? Okay, thank you. I am closing the public hearing on House Bill 3197. We will now move to work sessions. I'm opening a work session on House Bill 2101. LRO, would you please review this for us?
Yes, good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2101, we do have a dash one amendment, and the amendment is structured as a gut and stuff, but that's just more reflective of the numerous changes. The underlying policy of the bill stays more or less the same. So just as a reminder, House Bill 2101, this was a bill that came from Department of Revenue, and it's relating to income tax partnership audits. So there were some changes at the federal level relatively recently in 2015 of how the feds will operate their partnership audits, really focusing in terms of an audit will be on the partnership entity. And again, partnerships You have the entity, and then you have the actual partners, which then file through the income tax system. So the focus of audits will be on the partnership entity at the federal level, and then levying any audit adjustments on that entity. So focusing on the partner rather the partnership rather than the partners. So what House Bill 2101 is doing is aligning Oregon's statute more or less with those changes at the federal level. And this is something many of the states will be doing as well. And it is following, in some cases, on more general language that's coming out of the Multi-State Tax Commission. And the committee had testimony from the Council on State Taxation as well, working with Department of Revenue and other stakeholders to try to get this language set up in a way that will work best for Oregon to align with those federal provisions. In terms of the underlying revenue impact and the fiscal would be a minimal impact. The revenue impact statement as well, we're expecting a minimal impact. But this will certainly be helpful for DOR making these changes in aligning with a federal audit. So if a federal audit takes place, having Oregon aligned with those statutes will help Oregon's process in following up on those audit changes as well.
Thank you. Do we have a motion?
Chair Nathanson, I move the Dash 1 amendment be adopted into HB 2101.
Discussion? Are there any objections? We have moved the Dash 1 amendment into 2101.
Chair Nathanson, I move HB 2101 to the floor with the do-pass recommendation. Do-pass as amended recommendation.
Thank you. Any discussion? Any objections? Motion passes. And, oh, I did not look at carriers yet. We'll be taking turns on these. Would you like to do this one?
Sure.
Thank you. So, we have no other work to do on this bill. And I haven't figured out the carriers for the next bills yet. We'll do that on the fly. I see I did not use the exact language. I think it is clear that the motion having received the required majority is declared passed. I think I said motion passed. I'm closing the work session on House Bill 2101, opening a work session on House Bill 2102. Mr. Easton.
Okay, Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2102 is another bill that came from the Department of Revenue, and this one is really allowing the Department of Revenue to disclose income tax information to a multi-jurisdictional information sharing agreement formed with oversight with the IRS to combat identity theft and fraud. So that's the underlying intent of the bill, is really allowing DOR to become a full partner in this information sharing equipment with the intent of trying to avoid taxpayer fraud. So in terms of the fiscal, it is a minimal fiscal impact statement, revenue impact. Again, this could help being part of this information sharing agreement. DOR may be able to identify and stop more fraud from occurring in the future. But again, we'd expect this to be fairly minimal in terms of that fraud that would be stopped going forward. So that could help protect funds, so to speak, general fund funds in terms of underlying liability, no change.
Thank you. And from our previous hearing and conversation at the committee, we were not aware that any amendment was necessary. There is no amendment on this bill.
Chair Nathanson, I move 2102 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Marsh moves House Bill 2102 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Motion passes. Having received the majority, it's declared passed. And the carrier will be Representative Hernandez. Will you do this one? Thank you very much. You can see that we're probably going to be moving.
I'll just take the next one.
All right. There's no other work to do on this bill, so the work session on 2102 is closed. I'm opening a work session on House Bill 2458.
you, Chair, members of the committee. So House Bill 2458 deals with a property in, it's a general bill, but the property at issue is in Harney County, and there was, there's a biomass boiler and distribution system that was built by a contractor to heat the schoolhouse and the local courthouse. From the public hearing, the testimony was that the co-op that owns that property was surprised to find that property was being taxed by property tax on the tax roll. And so this bill came forward, sponsored by Representative Finley, to exempt property that satisfies this criteria where more than 50% of the co-op is a nonprofit co-op. And this slightly evolving circumstances was at the beginning of the legislative session. There was this issue was in litigation between Harney County and and the Department of Revenue. The property was centrally assessed. Since then, and since the public hearing, the county assessor has received notice from the Department of Revenue that the property will be tax exempt for the prior year, and my understanding is and going forward, the bill still has relevance because if the co-op was to grow and continue to distribute the steam energy to more properties so that they would move out of the 50% threshold, then their status could change. So there could also be other properties or other co-ops that evolve around the state. So this is a property that has biomass. It's unique. Current statute dealt with biomass-generated electricity in terms of central assessment, but this is biomass-generated heat. Even though this property is determined exempt by the Department of Revenue, there still could be potentially a revenue impact down the road if some similar property were to be built and then put on the roll.
Thank you. Representative Finley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Jamie. The one thing that makes this program unique is it's the consortium, the co-op that runs it, is between the county and the school district to provide heat for mostly those. They produce more than they need, so they're trying to grow to help defer their costs. But if the current code that allows biomass to generate electricity were wide enough to allow biomass to generate steam, we wouldn't be needing to do this. In some belief, it's kind of a fix just to align the code more with that. This is a great program, and it's very innovative for Harney County, and both taxing districts are fully supportive and want this to occur. So, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Marsh. Motion.
Chair Nathanson, I move House Bill 2458 to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Representative Marsh moves to the floor with a do pass recommendation. House Bill 2458, is there any discussion? Any objections?
Nope.
The motion having received the required majority is declared passed. The carrier will be Representative Finley.
Yes, I would be happy to do that. Thank you.
There is no other work to do on this. I am closing the work session on House Bill 2458, and we've completed our agenda for the day. We are adjourned.